You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Why is it the older we get, the more hardened we become? You know, and later on in the second hour, how do we begin to break the shell? You know, I think it's interesting how the older we get, the more hardened we become. And it's true. And it's interesting how we go through experiences. And I think life is married with experiences of relationships and situations and what happens and whatnot, and how life takes us down a path, how we take ourselves down a path. And we go through certain things that harden us, or we actually choose to be hardened. We go through certain things that build us up and certain things that break us down. And I think one of the biggest reasons we as human beings have a tendency of, as we get older, we get hardened, is the concept of being heartbroken. And I think this goes back to the concept of being hardened 101. And I think the biggest thing that we as humans go through is to become heartbroken by a love, by a relationship, by somebody we were in love with that kicks us to the curb. And I think that's one of the biggest things. And it was funny, it was a couple of days ago, my car broke down. And I waited, I called a tow truck company. And the operator showed up, and the tow truck company came, and the operator of the tow truck company, we ended up getting into a long conversation on the way to the dealership. And it was all about being hardened. And he was telling me, he said that he had a 9-year-old son, and the kid's really great, and, you know, he's about 120 pounds already, you know, X, Y, how tall, you know, the football coaches for the Little League or whatever, you know, they're already looking at him as a quality football player. I mean, because at his age, I mean, in the weight is like, I guess the kid weighs a little more than I do, or a little less than I do, by the way. And so we were talking, and he said, yeah, I was talking to my kid the other day, and he's just a sweetheart. He's just a really good kid, and he's a big teddy bear, and he's become an even bigger teddy bear. But I told him that, you know, you have to be careful in life, because a lot of times bad things happen, and you don't want somebody to take advantage of you. It's not all love, it's not all awesome, it's not all beautiful, and you're gonna get hardened, and it's okay. And I said, you know, I kind of disagree with that. I said, I think that it's great to be a kid and to not be hardened by life. And I think that the only way that we can truly, as adults, be happy and find happiness is to take that shell and take that wall down. But we got to figure out why we put the wall up in the begin with. Because I think that you don't want to be telling your kid that. Because I think the kid, if he actually plays his cards right, can actually stay intact with that heart and with that mind. And so let's talk tonight about being hardened 101. And, you know, it's funny because he actually looked at me and said, you're right on. You're right on. But he goes, you know, the biggest thing that I've dealt with is being heartbroken. And just being heartbroken, that has really hurt me. And he goes, and it's hard to bounce back from being heartbroken. And I said, I agree with you. When you are heartbroken, it sucks. I mean, it hurts. You know, it's very painful. It's a very painful thing to deal with. It's not easy breezy. It's not all, you know, roses and sunshine. You know, it's like, it really does kick your butt. It makes you feel lonely. It makes you feel sad. It makes you feel miserable. But, you know, a lot of times, instead of just having these feelings and dealing with it and accepting it and, you know, not forgetting it, but letting it go, a lot of times we allow this to put a shell around our heart to harden us. And, you know, Bill, we've done 200 plus shows.
Yes.
And I don't know how many we've done on heartbreak, but I know that we've done some shows about people leaving others at the altar.
Yeah.
And that's a painful process. And in that process, people can feel as though they put themselves out naked and somebody took advantage of them.
Right. And in my case, so I've always thought of it as the castle wall in the moat, you know. And like in my for it, just kind of talking about me, for example, when I was a kid, and this is not the you know, heartbroken love department, but I think it's kind of an example of how people put shells around themselves.
Okay.
When I was a child, my parents were divorced when I was an early age, and one of the consequences of that is that I didn't want to be hurt like that again. So I would put a wall around myself while I was growing up and didn't really allow anybody inside.
Because your parents divorced.
And I became very introverted and withdrawn and didn't develop very good social skills.
Okay.
And I would say to this day, my social skills aren't the best. I mean, I'm better at it now, obviously.
But what? How old were you when you began to put this wall up?
My parents divorced when I was 8. And it was a bitter divorce, and it was painful. And I just decided that, it's best to not, feel anything like that again. So I try my best not to feel, period.
And I think a lot of our listeners can, have maybe been there as a child. Even on the flip side, what if you've actually gone through a divorce yourself? I think a lot of our listeners have probably gone through a divorce or in the process of splitting up or separation or even in divorce court. Where you're over there listening to the show right now going, yeah, I didn't want the divorce. I didn't want to get divorced. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I'm heartbroken. I'm overwhelmed. I remember, my parents when they got divorced, and, my mother wasn't even expecting it. She didn't even expect it for the divorce. I mean, she asked my dad where were they going on their anniversary, and my dad looked back at her and said, I want a divorce. And my mother goes, what?
Wow.
And she goes,
just sprung on her like that, huh?
Yeah, she goes, we're not going out of town.
That's what that means.
He was like, I want a divorce. He's like, I've had enough. It's been 25 years and I'm done. And on the day of their 25th wedding anniversary, he said he's done. And that's painful. And and the thing was is that my mom dealt with so much crap, during the relationship that she dismissed and let go because, they were friends. First and foremost, they were friends. And my mom loved him. And I know that my dad loved my mom, but at the same point in time, that can be heartbreaking. And, and both of them are better off where they are now. It was the right thing to do, I believe. But at the same point in time, it's painful because you've lived a life of X amount of years with somebody. You've created something. And a lot of times people say, if I've been with somebody this long, it's just the way it is. If I've been with somebody this long, I might as well just go through the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's like the idea of if you're in hell, just keep on walking through because eventually you're going to move out of hell, right?
Yeah, eventually you'll see the other side of it. Yeah,
don't stop. Don't sit down. Don't comma squat. Don't make a picnic. Don't sit there and go, well, we're in hell. A lot of little devils running around right here.
No kidding.
I think this is a great time to have some brie and a little bit of, some red wine might be nice. No, you just keep on walking. Get through it. Move on. However, I think a lot of times we get stuck in the process of feeling this anguish. And when you're going through a divorce process, there's always one person that doesn't seem to feel as bad as the other person. There's always one person that seems to bounce back faster than the other person. And it sucks because we not only are we in pain if somebody else is bouncing back faster, we're also comparing our emotional stance and our ability to bounce back to the other person. And that becomes painful, too, because we have to look into ourselves and realize the baggage in the situation that we've dealt with through this marriage and be able to put some consideration on it. However, it's easier to try to avoid that by putting up a wall. And like as Bill was talking about earlier when he was dealing with his parents' divorce, 8 years old, that's a really young age to deal with your parents getting divorced. And it's hard enough to have the cognitive skills to be able to understand that, much less to divide the fact up from that, but also, do they still love me? Versus all the pain that's going on, because it's hard not to, care about your parents, and it's hard probably not to take sides with one of those parents. Because there's a tendency of us, we get along or we're closer to one parent than the other. That's normally the factor. Some people might argue that, but I do think that to a degree, depending on the way that you were raised and how much time you spent with each parent, there might have been a parent that you spent more time with. And that can be heartbreaking, too, to see that person go through pain, to see that person go through sadness, to see that person have to deal with it on a daily basis. And being a kid, that can be very difficult. When we return, we'll be talking more about being hardened 101, and we're going to talk about heartbreak, but in the process and in the component of being cheated on. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, why is it the older we get, the more hardened we become? You know, later on in the second hour, we're going to be talking about how we can begin to break the shell, how we can get over being hardened. But right now, we're talking about why is the older we get, the more hardened we become. And right before the break, we were talking about Hardened 101. And one of the biggest concepts of being hardened and putting that wall around your heart and hardening that heart is the concept of heartbreak. When we feel heartbroken, when our heart is broken, we feel pain. We feel sadness. It hurts. We feel anger. We feel loneliness. And these feelings don't make you feel that good. You're right. Not over there like, more loneliness, please.
And who wants to feel bad?
No. I mean, I don't want to sit there and go, let's try miserable for 3 hours.
Yeah, right? You know, I woke up today. You know what? I just feel like being hurt and angry today.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it right now.
Right.
Let's try miserable for 500 there, you know? Miserable.
Please, Alex. Yeah.
I'll be miserable for 3 hours straight. For 3 hour tour. Da 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 da.
Or I'll just be miserable for the whole day and make sure everybody at work knows about my misery.
And how miserable I feel. Yeah. Exactly. Man, that's hilarious. No, it's true. It's like a lot of times we don't want to deal with it. Okay? And heartbreak is a pain. That's a pain in the butt. Especially divorce, going through divorce. Heartbreak can also come in the form of losing a spouse. And that can be painful too, because, you know, when you're dealing with that situation, losing a spouse, and I'm not saying that they got sucked out of the mail chute by a UFO. I'm talking about they passed away. And that can be painful too, because that can be overwhelming depending on how long that you've been with them. You know, it can feel like your whole world is falling down. And sometimes in those situations, you meet people that have gone through that process, and they're very hard, and they're very strict with their emotions. And I think the next thing we want to talk about being heartbroken is the whole concept of being cheated on. And I know a lot of people listening tonight know what it's like to be cheated on, because you've been cheated on. And some people have been cheated on by their spouse. And you feel disrespected. And you also feel, you know, that not only are you being cheated on, but you just feel like you don't know what's going on. You have no idea. I mean, you believed in one thing, and now you're being cheated on. And especially if people have been cheated on more than once. You know, you start feeling that, especially if you've been cheated on multiple times, you might start feeling that, you know, there might be a sign on your back that says, screw me over, right? Come screw me over because I'm a jerk. And when people have been cheated on, that's a big deal. That's that people can't get over.
That's the ultimate betrayal, isn't it? I mean,
it can be.
Because you think about it. You can't be cheated upon unless you have put your heart out there and have loved somebody.
That's true.
So, you know, if they're going to take your heart and just, you know, throw it on the ground and stomp on it.
Yeah.
You know.
And you find out about all this stuff. How do you feel? I mean, have you ever been cheated on?
Yes, I have.
How did that feel?
Low. I mean, I just felt low. That, you know, like a kicked puppy dog, you know.
It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was like, you know, why bother anymore?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, is that a lot of times, and that makes you also hardened too. And I know men and women that have gone through marriages where they find out that their spouse has been cheating for a long period of time.
And I, at least in my case anyway, but I think talking to a lot of people, they feel the same way. You tend to say, okay, well, gee, if this one person do it, well, the entire gender.
Right.
You know,
they'll all do it. They're all a bunch of cheaters, right?
That's right.
And I know people that have been through marriages where they found out that the spouse has been cheating for a long period of time. Or they found out that the spouse had a lover on the side. Or they found out that the spouse had a mistress for years at a time. And you're right. It's a very painful situation when they wake up and they realize all this. And they start to wonder, you know, like you said, Bill, who's out there is not cheating?
And maybe another aspect to it. You just know, everybody knows. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, you know, everybody. So you just feel humiliated. So it's like the Scarlet C, you know, instead of the Scarlet L in the book.
Yeah.
The Scarlet C.
I thought it was
the
Scarlet A.
That's right. Scarlet A. Yeah, you're right.
What does the C stand for?
Cheated.
Oh, you know? Cheated on.
I mean, it's like, in
other
words.
I was thinking V for victim.
Well, that one too, Scarlet V, you know? So in other words, everybody knows, and you just know people are like, look, that girl's Bill.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you don't even want to go out of your house.
Oh, especially when somebody's cheating around, that's telling everybody about it. You know what I mean? I remember being at this restaurant recently in a prominent area. And there was a guy sitting there at the bar, and he was with a couple of women. And I know him, a very wealthy man, and I've spoken to him several times. And I know that he's been married for about 15 years, and he just goes around cheating all the time. And I remember sitting there in that bar looking, we were talking about stuff, and he was just like, it's very hard to talk with him because I have very little respect. However, at the same point in time, I understand that maybe the marriage isn't perfect and he's looking for love in all the wrong places. But he was actually talking about it so loudly, you could all hear about it. Like, the whole bar could hear that this guy cheats all the time, and then he cheats all the time. And not only does he cheat all the time, but on top of that, he was talking about how he had his mistress over at the house having sex with her in the bed that he's married is like his marriage, like where is his house is, like in the master bedroom,
and not just talking about it, bragging
about it, like everybody could hear it, every single part, like you could hear every syllable. I mean, it was ridiculous. Unbelievable. I mean, it's like mic check, please, mic check. You know
yeah,
what
no
I mean?
Joke, huh?
I mean, like, and I was sitting there going, my God. I mean, and to be that wife and to find out, and you know, eventually, if she doesn't know already, she's gonna find out. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I mean, how do you feel? And I mean, and that can make you feel very lonely, very isolated. And it's hard to bounce back from that.
You know, humiliated.
And humiliated. And that heartbroken feeling of just going, God, you think you know somebody and then you don't. You know, I think that being cheated on is always an interesting thing. I think being cheated on makes us feel helpless. And I think one of the last things that we like as a human being is to ever feel helpless. We want to always feel in control. We want to always feel like we have a good, you know, a good beat on things, you know, a good finger on the pulse of life. You know, we want to know that we know most of everything that's going on, and we want to be able to, you know, be able to sit there and say, yeah, everything's going great. I feel good about it. But right when we find out the opposite, we get sad, we get upset, and it's almost like the concept of being a kid that doesn't want to cry in front of their parents. Like, the last thing you want to do is show cry. The last thing you want to do is be in school and cry.
Because you're showing weakness.
Because we think that that's weakness.
Yeah.
Like, we go from realizing that crying is a part of life to crying is weakness. And, you know, crying is not weakness. Showing emotion is not weakness. And that's what's so important for us to realize. But when we harden up and we allow these things that have been done to us to put a wall around our heart, and we instinctively begin to put that wall up brick by brick by brick, we change everything. We change the reason for us here. We change what we learn. We change our direction. We change our course. And we don't realize how much power that has and how much power we've put into that pain to allow that pain to hurt us. You know, I think the next thing I want to talk about, besides being cheated on and feeling out of control, is being lied to by a lover or even being lied to by a close friend. I mean, how many times have you been lied to by somebody and you find out about it? I mean, how bad does that hurt? To me, that hurts pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody bold-faced lies in your face, and you look at them, and they're a good friend of yours, and later on you find out that everything they said was a lie.
And you just feel like the biggest idiot in the world.
You feel like an idiot, but then you just feel, like, really hurt. Like, why do I care so much about that person? Why do I love that person so much that I let them lie to me? Like I just hook, line, and sinker over here. I just accepted everything they ever said as gospel truth, because, you know, they're my good friend. You know, what's up with me? What does that say about me? I mean, you know, I wasn't born yesterday, you know, but yet I feel like I've been taken advantage of. I mean, I was recently in a meeting, I guess it was a couple of days ago, actually, and I was talking to a couple of people, and it was interesting how one person told me something, and then the other person was gone out of the room, and then when the other person was talking to somebody else, the other person told me something else. Two different stories. And when we return, I'm going to be talking about those two different stories, and I'm going to be talking about how I felt not only lied to, but I felt like these people were actually coercing me into making a decision that was not at all beneficial to me. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, why is it the older we get, the more hardened we become? You know, later on in the hour, actually next hour, we're going to talk about how we begin to break the shell of hardness and get back into our life. But let's talk about this. Why is it the older we get, the more hardened we get? And, I just started talking right before the break about being lied to by either a lover or a close friend. And a couple of days ago, I had some people in my office, and one of them's an old friend of mine. They have their issues, but they're an old friend of mine. And a new person that I met. And one person tells me basically a variation of a situation that's going on. Hey, by the way, I want to let you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I went, okay. And it just seemed a little far-fetched. And then when the other person came back in, they told me something different. And then it was interesting how when I walked back in the room again, because I had to take a phone call and I came back in, they were talking about something, both of them. They were talking about something and they were discussing a situation that I actually know to be BS. I know it's not true. I know that what they were talking about was the exact opposite of honesty. And I remember walking in and listening to it as I'm walking through the room, and I'm hearing them in the front room, and I'm walking through and I hear this, and I know that what they're telling me is not, I hear what they're saying, and I know that it's BS, and I can hear it as I'm walking in, and it's pissing me off.
It's like, am I a complete moron? I mean, come on, you know?
And they tell me that they want me to buy it, right? They're right? Like trying to sell me something. They're trying to sell me the truth.
It's like they don't even think enough of you to be honest with you.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're trying to sell me some sort of version of their reality. I don't know if it's Prozac-driven reality. I don't know if it's a little drinky-drinky reality.
Maybe all of the above.
Or if it's just like, we want Ashley to buy into this concept, and so we're gonna try to hook her in right now. And what they were telling me was just asinine. I mean, what they were saying was just stupid. And I realized that what they were trying to do was more than just lie to me. They were trying to coerce me into doing something based on the emotional feeling that I would have after hearing the supposed truth. And there's a lot of companies out there that work on this coercion factor. They're called multi-level marketing companies. And there's a lot of companies out there that try to sell you a bill of goods and try to tell you that you're going to be rich beyond your wildest dreams if you get involved with what we have to do. And, you know, a lot of times we buy into that because we're easily bought into. Because we feel that, you know, we feel about the dream. We want to have this dream. We want to have a lifestyle. And when somebody's trying to sell you this lifestyle and tell you that it's attainable, and we believe it's possibly attainable, we get on the bandwagon. Sometimes it's shocking the lies that they tell you based on the fact of what freaking industry they're in. And in this situation, these people were just selling lies. And I think that hardens people too, because when they're lied to, when they're trying to better themselves in their career and they're being lied to, I think that hardens people. I think that makes them hard.
Well, and because it's like you said at the beginning of the show, Ashley, if something bad happens to you, you don't want to feel bad again. And the best way to do it is put up a shell or wall, so that it doesn't happen again, okay? And so you go through life and you just assume that others are going to hurt you,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's where the shell gets built up. You go in assuming that you already know the end result.
Well, and also a big deal, too, is that when you're being lied to, I always find this problem to be an issue with me. And I think, and I don't know about you, Bill, but when you're being lied to and you know it, do you ever find it hard to actually say to those people, I know you're lying to me?
It depends on the situation, who it is.
Who could you tell it to?
Actually, well, I mean, to someone I just really don't like, and I really don't need that person for anything. You know, it's like, so there's a person I work with at where I work at. You know, he knows I don't like him. But I've caught him telling me lies before.
Right.
But, you know, I need to be civil to him because, after all, we work together and the boss will, you know.
There'll be problems. So yeah. How do you deal with that? You just accept it? Or do you get very angry about it and kind of keep it all inside each time they lie?
I get angry about it, but I don't let him know it. And, you know, but I know that he's lied to me, and I've, you know, basically did an end run around him.
Okay.
You know, I you know, just outflanked the problem and then just went on about my business. But, you know, let's say that it's someone I care about very much.
Okay, let's flip the coin.
Okay. And I know that they're lying to me. And I guess my first reaction would be kind of shock. It's like, really? You know, but I know that's not true.
Right.
And then later on, you know, you find, you, again, you know, you just kind of get confirmation that it's true. And so in my case, when this happened to me, again, this is the ex-fiance.
Okay.
And so I finally just couldn't let it go anymore. And I just sat her down and said, look, sweetheart, I know it's not true. Okay. And, you know, she looked at me like I'd hit her or something. You know, it's like, you know, oh, my God. But no.
Doesn't hurt here so much or here, but just right here.
Yeah, right. You know, no, she got that deer in the headlight look.
She got caught.
Yep. And a lot of people, when they get caught, their first reaction is to either to lie or to make up an excuse.
Yeah, it's not my fault. I had to do it. Right. You know, my suit, you know, got taken to the cleaners, you know?
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it, in my case.
But how did you feel at the exact time? So when you had to sit there and say, it's not true, how did you feel right then?
I just, gosh.
I've been there before.
It was a jumble of emotions.
It is. And that kind of gets to me. And that's one of the things that I've really had to watch myself to not get hard on, is to deal with people that literally lie. And there's a lot of reasons why they do it. But I think the biggest thing that makes me feel upset is that they confuse my kindness as a weakness.
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing. That to me is the crux of what we're talking about today.
Right.
Because I think you can become really hardened as a very kind person that seems to be run over by other people because they see your kindness as a weakness. And in that situation the other day, I figured that they saw my kindness as a weakness because they wouldn't be doing that otherwise. And it took a lot of me holding myself back from saying, you're lying. You're so full of crap, I can't even breathe in here. I mean, you know, and it's funny how on a weekly basis there'll be somebody, and no matter what it is, that I will, out of the kindness of my heart, allow into my space, that even they honestly know that they're lying, or they don't know that they're lying, but they've been lied to. And instead of me saying, hey, you know, whatever information you've been given is bull crap, and you need
good catch there, Ashley.
And, you know, you need to really maybe reflect back on your on your stats, you know, really get, you know, form up on what's going on. And I think a lot of times, though, when people confuse your kindness for weakness, it's hard to deal with. And I think that people can confuse that in relationships, in business, in friendship, in acquaintanceship. Major to me is an acquaintanceship. When you meet somebody as an acquaintance and they see you being all kind and nice, and they go, I'm gonna roll all over Burgess.
And you know? Because I consider myself a kind person. If someone takes that as weakness, I get personally offended.
There you go.
By that, because kindness is not weakness. In fact, in this day and age, it's more of a strength. It's actually weaker to not be kind to people, I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's interesting when you meet people that are just so freaking rude. Like, I have some neighbors right now. I have a couple neighbors, like this couple. I have this couple of, they just got married. They couldn't be more perfect for each other. They're such jerk-offs, okay? I mean, they, just the biggest
birds
jerky,
of a feather, huh?
Just the biggest jerky couple you can meet, you know? And it's like, you try to say hi, you'll say hi, and they'll just, ugh. I mean, even the woman, they actually look at you like, why are like, you even in my area?
It's like, to them, you're something they stepped in.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, even the dogs got the same mannerisms.
Probably.
I mean, seriously, like, I was watching it the other day. I was standing out there when my car was getting towed into the dealership. So I was waiting out there, and they were putting it on the flatbed truck. And it was funny. This guy comes walking from one side down the sidewalk with his two dogs, and both of them are very sweet-looking dogs. And the jerky couple come walking down the street with this little bitty dog. And it was funny because as the dogs came up, the two big dogs that were sweet just went off crazy. And this guy had to wait on the other side of the sidewalk for these people to pass. And I'm right. Like, what's this about? I look over there, go, oh, there's jerky couple 101. I mean, just the biggest jerks. And it's like dealing with people like that too. When you say hi to people, when you go out of your way to be you, to be a nice person, and people kind of throw up all over that, you know, how are you supposed to act in life? You know, how are you supposed to deal with that? It's like waving and saying hi, and that person looking at you and turning around and walking off and not saying anything. I mean, there comes a time when you feel either like, God, I mean, what am I doing? I'm going to change my ways. And that's part of being hardened, too, is to stop saying hi, to stop putting yourself out there. So we're going to turn to talking about more about how people can confuse kindness for weakness, which is one of the things I just do not like. And also we'll begin to talk about how we can begin to try and break the shell of hardness that we create as we get older. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, why is it the older we get, the more hardened we become? You know, and we talked about heartbreak, and we talked about heartbroken and hardening 101. We talked about the concept of being cheated on in a relationship and marriage. We talked about the concept of being cheated on more than once or multiple times. We talked about being lied to by our loved one, by our significant other, being lied to by a close friend, and how painful that can be, and how that can make us turn into being hardened, because we don't want to deal with the pain, because we want to just let it go, like being drunk all the time. It's like how you feel like when you're buzzed all the time. You don't care what anybody's saying. I don't care what they have to say, because that isn't right. I'm not going to remember it anyway. And you know, it's interesting that it seems that when we get older, the more hardened we become, and we choose it sometimes out of necessity, or we choose it because it's easier. And I think it's interesting when we are being coerced into something that's not beneficial to us, how it can feel like we are being violated, that we're being taken advantage of, the feeling that nobody cares. And then the biggest thing is that the feeling and the thought process, quantitatively defined by the fact that we feel that we're taking advantage of, we know that people are lying to us, and then we feel the world is a scary, bad place because everybody seems to have a gimmick, and everybody is out there to use you, and everybody's out there to take advantage of you. And, you know, I've been there before where I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel because I was surrounding myself around a bunch of people with gimmicks, a bunch of people that were trying to take advantage of me, a bunch of people that didn't have my best interest at heart. Instead, quite the opposite. And, you know, a lot of times it's all about how and what we're doing. And we don't realize that. We don't realize that we have to step up to the plate and do what's right by us. And when people are confusing the kindness of our heart, they're confusing that as a weakness. That's something that I just can't stand. That's something that I just can't stand at all. And the reason I can't stand it is because I'm a loving person. I'm a loving person that cares about other people, and I care about other people because I love humanity. I care about other people because I love the human race. I love people. I love animals. I love Mother Earth. I love everything. And I'm not going to sit there and close off my heart. I've tried that before. It didn't work. I tried that before, and guess what? I ended up being around a bunch of other closed-hearted people. So I got to hang out with a bunch of hardened people all
the
time.
It just reinforced itself, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, we didn't go anywhere. We didn't do anything except for just, you know,
stare at each other.
Yeah, just be angry all the time. Yeah. Oh, I bet they're going to screw us over. Oh, I can already see it in her eyes already. She's walking this way. She's going to try to take something from me.
You know, remember the coworker from hell?
Oh, yeah.
Shameless plug segment. I've talked about the co-worker from hell
before.
You can
hear that on Spreaker, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. You can go online at ashleyburgess.com. You can go to iTunes, Spreaker as well. And also, alltexasmusic.com, All Texas Music. Or you can also check us out on Cerebral, cerebralstudios.com as well. And check out the co-worker from hell, Bill's co-worker from hell.
You know,
hell.
Ashley, and by the way, that ends our shameless plug moment, but... I wasn't done setting you up yet. You cut me off, and therefore I'm going to put a shell over my heart because, you know, and now I feel bad.
Have you ever had that magic shell that people would get? You know the magic shell? You get the ice cream, and then you put the magic shell on there.
Right.
You kind of pour it on, and then in like a couple of minutes, it's that hard shell.
Yes.
Over the ice
cream.
Yeah. So you just did that, didn't you?
I just now did that. Thanks a lot.
It's a black hard
Ashley.
Shell around your heart.
Thank you. Ashley.
I will get Cupid's arrow and break it down. Once Cupid's on break, though, right now he's setting somebody up.
Right.
He set up my neighbor with a girl that's 30 years younger than him. But yeah, go ahead.
but anyway, yeah. So, you know, the coworker from hell, you know, and it's like she's one of those people, bless her heart. I've always kind of wondered kind of sort of whatever happened to her. But she's
you know her full name?
I don't remember her full name. I remember her first name. It's been several years
now.
We
need to go find her and then put that on one of the shows.
I guess so, yeah. Interview her and say, what makes you so miserable?
We'll go find her. We'll find her on Facebook, and then we'll tweet her, and then we'll have her come on the show.
Right. Yeah, there you go. That way she can make us both miserable, because she will. Because she's one of those people
She'll make everybody miserable. Yeah, everybody listening.
She's one of those people that you didn't ask her, how are you? You know, like when you go to work and you see somebody for the first time that day, hey, how you doing, man? You know, how you doing? You know, whatever. You don't ask her that, because she'll tell you. And it's never a happy story.
It's never a happy story.
And it's just one of those people that just sucks the energy out of the room.
Oh, I've been around those people, and I'm sure a lot of people can understand and resonate with that concept, because we've all had those people that tend to be energy suckers around us. You know, but what about hurting? What about the concept, though, Bill, of how when people lie to us or they confuse our kindness with weakness, that it hurts our feelings? I mean, When was the last time that happened to you? And the first thought that went through your mind is like, it wasn't how dare them, but it was more like, man, really? I don't even get the truth.
I would say, and I got to be careful about how I say this, because it's someone close to me. It's still a situation that we're trying to work through to resolve. It was a family member. And I reached out to, let's say, other family members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you want for Christmas?
Right.
And I was told, you know, that was inappropriate.
Okay.
And I'm like, really?
What do you mean? I don't understand. Why was this inappropriate?
That's what I don't understand. That's what, you know, we're still trying to figure out.
Yeah, well, this person sounds a little deranged.
But yeah, I mean, you know, so I, you know, and that really hurt my feelings.
Well, it's kind of like the concept. I can kind of see where you're going with this, too, is like the concept of somebody asking a question and you saying you don't deserve to know. Oh,
yeah.
I'm not going to tell you, you know, and you're just like, what? I mean, am I supposed to get like FBI clearance here?
Yeah. Do I need a background
special forces?
Check?
Special forces, you know, do I need to take some sort of test? And you know, that's the thing, is that it hurts your feelings. And just the other day, you know, I had a situation like that, and I've gone from the hurt feeling stage to the how dare they stage to the I don't even care stage, you know, and sometimes you get to that point and it makes you want to be harder. It makes you want to be harder because you don't want to be played by them and you don't want to be taken advantage of. So you say, how can I never be taken advantage of again? Okay, I'm going to beat them at their own game. But the thing is that you don't want to ever beat them at their own game. You just don't want to be playing a game with them. And I think when we get into this next hour, we're going to be talking about how we can really get back and take down that shell and why it's important to be more like our kids. I mean, kids at a young age, when they haven't had any sort of abuse around them or any sort of like stress or any sort of pain and suffering, have a tendency of being able to live by their heart. And then that's the key, is that we got to get back to that. In order to be happy, healthy adults, we have to be more like a kid. Okay.
Be more childlike as far as, loving, trusting, that type of thing in our relationships. Yeah.
And I think that the only way that we really spot as well people that don't have our best interests at heart is to be loving and open-minded. Because I think that when we get hardened, we start missing the boat. I mean, we start getting hardened. We start missing how other people are good people. We start putting everybody into a stockpile of not being good enough. We put people into, they must be tricking me. They must be putting some sort of false veil over themselves. They must not be showing me who they are. And I have friends that literally don't have any friends. Like, I'm their only friend. Because they go, I know that this person is going to turn out to be a jerk And I know this is going to happen because it started, I just know. And I'm like, why am I a friend? You know, like, why do you think I'm a friend? I don't get this. You don't let anybody in. They're like, well, you've been around me so long. I mean, it's almost like the concept of the guy that marries the woman only because she was there before he got money. Well, she was here before I made my money. So I know I can trust her. And I think that's sad. I mean, at what point in time can you not trust most of humanity? I think for the most part, most people are trustworthy and loving and good people. I think to a degree, people have been hardened. I mean, I'm sure at work, in certain workplaces too, it hardens you. And I know I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said that, you know, he works at a specific store. And that people are always trying to take back items. And he said this one lady recently comes in to customer service and hands him it was a Blu-ray DVD box with the DVD player in it. And she said, yeah, I want to take it back.
With the whole thing?
Yeah, I don't like it. I want to get my money back.
Okay.
And he's like, okay. He goes, okay, let me go and take care of this. And so he opens the box and it's not the right DVD player. It's like an old DVD player. So she had taken the new DVD player.
The pre-Blu-ray.
Yeah, that at home, taking her old DVD player, and is trying to pawn this off to him as the same DVD player so she can get the money back on the credit card or whatever. And he's like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, do you think I'm an idiot?
Right.
Like, this isn't even the same brand. I mean, like, this is Sony. The box is Sony, and this is JVC.
Nice.
Or Hitachi.
Nice.
And this is, like, 12 years old. Like what was it? What, you know? And he goes, and you get 5 or 6 of those a day. And you start having to deal with people trying to, you know, put the wool over your eyes. And you can't do this because if you give in to them, you're going to lose your job.
When I was an insurance agent, I had several similar things happen to me.
You did?
Your policy canceled because you didn't send us a payment. Well, I sent you the check. It's just that I wrote somebody else's name on it. Oh, we can't accept it then.
Well, I am not like, Ashley really? Burgess. This is an insurance company.
Yeah.
But anybody that's writing checks out there, Ashley Burgess is a good name to put on the name slot. And you can send that in anytime you want to the good old station here. Amen. However, but you're right. And it hardens people a little bit because they want to help people in customer service. But yet you have this whole issue where you got people that are acting like you're a moron. There's no way you're going to figure this out. So stay tuned. When we return on this next hour, we're going to begin to delve into how we can begin to break the hardened shell and get back to who we're truly supposed to be. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about why is it the older we get, the more hardened we become. And now we're going to be talking more about getting past the hardened 101, getting past dealing with the cheating and the heartbreaking, getting past being lied to, getting past the concept of dealing with people that are basically confusing your kindness for weakness. Getting past these hurt feelings and getting past the fact of building up a large wall, a shell, you might say, around your heart. And now we live like that. And now it's time to talk about how do we actually break the shell? How do we put a dent and break the shell that we've created in our life? And that's a good question. Because the only way that we can break the shell is by using the rule. The Burgess Rule, really. And the rule of breaking your shell begins with one, with realizing. We have to realize that we've actually formed a shell. And I think that we have to realize that we formed the shell believing that it was a survival shell. We thought that in order to survive whatever we were dealing with, that we had to form this shell, to form it around our heart, because we had to do that. And as we realize that we've actually created the shell, we have to see it. And when we know that we have one, only when we know can we actually break it down. We have to know we have a shell first, though. Because if we don't know we have a shell, we don't know that we need to take it down.
Well, it's and this might be taking the analogy too far, but it's almost maybe having an addiction or substance abuse problem. You know, you have to admit that there's a problem first.
Exactly.
And so you have to be aware that there is a shell around yourself, or in my case, a wall, in order for you to do something about it. You know, because denial is not a river in Egypt.
And you have to realize it.
Yeah.
You have to actually sit there and take proper protocol, proper steps to realize the fact that you have one. And, you know, you have to sit back and look at it. And you're like an addiction. Like, in order to sit there and say, I have an alcohol problem, I have to sit there and realize it. Because I'm not going to go to rehab and I'm not going to go to a therapy unless I realize that I have a reason to go to therapy. Just the same as realizing that we have a shell that we have to break. Realizing that we formed it. And a lot of us formed it as a survival shell. We formed it as a security blanket. We formed it as a way to offset our emotions because we felt so crummy. We felt very upset. We felt very manipulated. We felt angry. We felt disappointed. We felt miserable. We felt sad.
And, you know, Ashley, I think walling yourself off or putting yourself inside the shell, it's the easy way out. Because, you know, it's just easier not to feel anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why not? That's why a lot of people self-medicate. They'd rather drink themselves into oblivion every night than deal with what they have to deal with. Like, I have clients all the time that come in and they don't want to deal with the fact that they have a shell or a wall. They don't even believe they have it. It's so wild. But at the same time, they're the same ones that can't walk out of the restaurant every night. And the reason why they do that is because they self-medicate because they don't want to have to look in the mirror and realize what they've done.
Or how about maybe people who have sex addictions and they jump from relationship to relationship. So as soon as maybe the other person starts getting closer, maybe they start having feelings. But out the door.
Out the door.
You know, done.
Yeah. And you have to sit there and realize that you're dealing with this. Because if you don't realize that you have a shell around you, I mean, we can't begin to change this. And so that's the first part of the rule. Is to realize. You know, the second part of the rule is to understand. We have to begin, once we realize that there's a shell or wall up, we have to understand why we created it in the first place. Why do we create the shell? I mean, like in the very beginning of the show, you remember Bill was talking about when he was 8 years old, his parents got divorced. And it was a very painful process. It was a very painful divorce. And it affected him quite a bit as a child. And so while a lot of us are having childhoods that are just like, all happy and roses and flowers and greatness and all that good stuff and hugging trees, you know, Bill was dealing with the devastation of his family divorcing, but not only that, the pain and the process that he was going through. And so he created this wall so that he wouldn't feel this pain anymore. And that wall basically set him away from that emotional feeling, and he was able to deal with that divorce in almost like a catatonic state, right?
Yeah. I mean, I try not to feel anything. And so I didn't go out of my way to make friends. If somebody was introduced to me, I was just like, oh, okay, how are you? You know, that type of thing. Yeah.
And that's why I think a little bit, too, is that that's why maybe you're more introverted. And I think that you actually created that wall, and you also even pushed yourself more into an introverted state based on the fact that you'd rather not meet people at all than those people to hurt you.
I think you're right about that. Yep.
And I think that there's a lot of people out there that can understand what we were just now talking about. Is that some people, as a kid, you're very extroverted, very outgoing, very just all over the place, very bubbly. And when something happens like that, it can change your whole format because you go, if I'm out there too much, something's going to happen. I mean, I felt the pain from this time. And maybe if I put myself out there too much and I love and I care too much, these people are going to leave me too. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's awful as a kid. And there's a lot of kids out there. There's a lot of people that will go through that process and they turn around and they're the ones that want to get married first because they don't want to deal with that. And then when the marriage goes in the crapper, then they have to deal with this pain all over again. But the problem is they never really dealt with it in the first place because they were just running from one position to another to try to basically suffocate the pain that they were dealing with. And that's why people overeat. That's why people use food as a way to deal with their pain.
How about shopping?
Oh, shopping's a big deal. Retail therapy.
Yeah.
You get that high from retail therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and the food thing, too, is a big deal because when people eat a lot, they eat a lot of times to deal with the pain, to not have the problem, to not feel it. And so they basically binge eat. And I think it's awesome, though, when we finally understand why we created the wall in the first place. What event? So let's go and figure out how we understand this. We have to actually go into our memory banks, and we have to actually begin to realize what events that took place, what situations actually occurred that made us choose to put up our Great Wall of China. What was it that happened in our life that made us choose to put up this wall? That seemed to be the best decision. That was our best out. What was it? In Bill's case, his family getting divorced. In some people's cases, it could be a family member that died. It could be, you know, a family member was killed. It could be your sister or brother died when they were young, when you were a kid. You lost a sibling. There could be so many different facets of the reasons why you chose to put up this wall. It could be your family got divorced. It could be that you were actually given up as a kid to a foster family. And, you know, you never felt loved because you figured that your family didn't even want you bad enough. They didn't even want you. So, I mean, I must not be worthy of having anything. So I'm going to put this wall up. I mean, I have some clients that have come in my office and, you know, they were given up for adoption. They were put in foster care and they really fell in love with their foster care family. And then the system moves them out of the foster care to another foster care. And that goes into the crapper because that foster care is not good. And they get stuck in the system.
It's like you're a hot potato.
Yeah.
You know,
and
yeah.
They're like, man, and they found love. So what happens is they try to, you know, shut off their feelings when they got to the first foster care, but then they started feeling love, you know, and they were like, man, I started feeling love and I started being cared for. And then all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from underneath them. You know, the foster care are fighting to get them back, but it doesn't matter because they've already moved into the system. And that's a painful process too, because they go, yeah, look at me. I tried to love twice and I got burned both times. Like, there's no chance. And I think there's a lot of people out there that you've been burned a dozen times. I mean, a lot of us have been burned a lot. A lot of us have a story. A lot of us have a painful story. You're not the only one. We all have a painful story. We've all gone through a process in life that's probably not that beautiful and not that cool to talk about. But it makes us who we are today. But it only makes us who we are today by dealing with it. And so we have to figure out why we chose, what events and what situations led up to the fact that we created this Great Wall of China. What are they? And I think some people can actually use a tool of a notebook and a piece of paper to write this down. I think some of y'all will be able to meditate and figure it out. But I think that you'll be able to know exactly when this began because you haven't really been living fully since you created the wall. You haven't been feeling fully. You haven't been actually feeling love and emotion in that certain way since you created the wall. And to be able to go back to that and realize, okay, I picked it for XYZ reason. Okay, so now I've realized that I have it, and now I understand. So when we return, we're going to be talking about the rest of the rule to break the shell, the hardening shell that you've created around your heart. And then lastly, we'll be talking about once the shell is broken, the heart can begin to lead us again, and what that will actually do to better your life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm, and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, in the first hour, we were talking about why is it that the older we get, the more hardened we become. And now we're talking about how we can begin to break that shell, how we can begin to break that wall. And we have to use the rule concept. And yes, this is a Burgessism. Yes, it's the rule concept.
A Burgessism.
A Burgessism.
I like that. A Burgessism.
Way to go, Burgess. Way to go.
Way to go, Burgess.
I liked what you said right before we started.
I don't trust you, Burgess.
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't trust you, Burgess. So how do we break this shell? So we have to use the Burgess rule. The Burgess rule for breaking the shell, and that begins with realizing that we've actually formed said survival shell. I mean, the reason why we formed the shell in the first place is not because we want to have a shell. It's not because we want to be some sort of animal that lives in the ocean that lives in a shell. We don't want to be a shrimp, okay? We don't want to be a lobster. We don't want to be a clam. We do it as a survival system. We do that because we want to survive whatever we dealt with before that really hurt us and messed with our emotions. So we got to realize we have it. We got to see it to believe it. We got to know it before we can break it down. The second part of the rule is to understand. We have to understand why we created it in the first place. What chain of situations took place that made us choose, or we felt the need to put up the Great Wall of China? What was it? What was the chain of events? What was the situations that happened? I mean, even how old were you? What were you going through this process when you put up the wall? And this is very valuable information. And this is stuff that you would work with if you were coming to me as, you know, for you as your therapy. But you can do this with yourself, too. I mean, I can take it to the next level for you. But I think that you have to begin by understanding what was the preemptive strike. What happened that caused these events? What happened with these events that were so painful that you had to wall yourself off? And so next, in the rule concept, is to let go. Okay? We've realized that we have it. We've understood where it began. We understood where it came from, the chain of events that began. But now we have to let go of the past. And I know that that's rough for some people because you've been holding on to the past for so long, right?
Yes.
Creating it, holding on. You have actually kept the past with you. You actually have a place in your car. You have a place, like, on your back to hold that past.
You know, and I think one reason why people may hold on to the past is the fear of the unknown. Without the past, you don't know where you're going. I mean, you know, so you hold on to that. Even though that past may be painful, it's still a known quantity to you. Okay,
so
to give it up, you know, maybe even you know, a worse thing to some people.
And you don't have to give it up; you just have to let it go. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it's like, yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of times people say, "Oh, if I let go, then I'm forgetting the past." But I don't ever believe that you should ever forget the past. Okay, you don't want to ever forget it, because a lot of times if you forget the past, you'll just redo it. You'll do it again. But if you forgive the past, okay, so think about it. The reason why we go to history classes when we're kids, we go through history classes through school, even through college, is to learn what happened in the past. The reason why we do that is because we don't want to repeat the past. Bad things that happened in the past, I don't want to redo it. And you know what? History does have a tendency of repeating itself. However, when we begin to let go of our past, we have the understanding that we don't want to forget it, but we want to forgive it. That means that we have to begin by forgiving others that were involved in the past. No matter how jaded the past was, no matter how awful the past was, we have to begin to forgive the others that were involved in our nasty past. Okay, but the biggest thing too that a lot of people deal with is, I know that a lot of people out there that believe in religious beliefs say, well, I've already forgiven everybody. That's part of my beliefs. But the one thing that you haven't done is you haven't forgiven yourself. Okay, that's the biggest thing, is that you can let go, and you can let go of the past, and you could have forgiven everybody else involved, but you haven't forgiven yourself. And I'll give you a good example of why this is important. I remember a while back, I got taken advantage of in a situation, and it was very upsetting, and it upset me quite a bit. And it put me in a financial bind. And I was very angry at the person duping me in to basically helping them out, and them telling me, oh yeah, I'm going to pay you back, I'm going to do all this stuff. And they were lying through their teeth. And I got very upset about that. I got very angry about that. And there was maybe a couple of years I was very angry about it. I mean, I had been duped. And I eventually got to the point where I worked to let it go, and I forgave that person, even though it was very painful, but I forgave them. The problem is I never forgave myself for getting involved. And that was the biggest thing, because I kept beating myself over it, over and over again.
Were you like, how could I have been so stupid?
How could I have fallen for it?
Right, yeah.
How could I believe that crap? How could I put my family and everybody else in financial jeopardy based on the fact that I believe this person was going to do right? Like, how could I sit there, even to the fact that some of us know, everybody that's listening knows that there's sometimes that you've done something bonehead deal, and you even had to lie to do it. And so not yeah. only did you screw yourself over, but then you had to lie to your loved ones about doing it. Because you feel so stupid about doing it, right? And you're like, God dang it. Last thing I want them to know is to know that I fell for this. So you're hating on yourself for doing it, and you're hating on yourself for lying about it. And you're hating on yourself for being so stupid for it.
So it's just snowballing.
Just beating yourself up every single second. And so I think for the biggest part that people have to deal with their past and to deal with breaking this shell is to forgive yourself. And this is going to go a long way to dissolving this shell. Because we have to remember that sometimes we don't just design the shell or the wall to keep the people from getting in. But we put the wall up to keep ourselves from getting in. Okay? Think about it. Sometimes it's hard to deal with our own emotions and our own heart and our own head. We'd rather not even kind of connect with that. We'd rather keep the finger off the pulse on that deal. So why not create a wall around our own heart so we don't have to deal with our own heart? And so in order to deal with this, we have to forgive ourselves. And in that situation, I was able to get past that situation by eventually I had to go through a process, and I went through a process of forgiving myself. And I'm completely forgiven on that process. But it took a while for me to let go of all the pain and all the luggage that I took with me on that, to overcome the fact that I had lied, to overcome the fact that I felt like I had been duped, but to overcome the fact that I was an idiot for getting into it. And you know, and the wall's not going to come down if you constantly think that you're an idiot. The wall's not going to come down if you feel shameful about things that you did in your past. You've got to forgive those things and you got to move on. And that's what's so important. You know, the next step in the rule process, in the Burgess rule, is acceptance. Acceptance is a big deal. That's one of those big ones that they underline and they bold. They boldface that one. They underline that one.
Acceptance.
Acceptance is king or yes. queen or queen. Ha ha. Or queen. You know, acceptance.
Okay.
Acceptance that not everyone is going to be straight up. So when we accept things in life, we have to accept the fact that the world is the world. That some people are going to be really, really amazing people. And that some people aren't going to be that straight up. We have to accept the fact that we will also make mistakes. I still make mistakes. I still allow people in my life that probably shouldn't be allowed in. Why? Because I'm not listening to my higher self. Why? Because I'm buying into a scam. The most recent scam that I bought into is when...
Here we go.
Here we go, Burgess. The most recent scam I brought, you know, I kind of fell into, or not fell into, but started kind of buying into, and I didn't fall hook, line, and sinker, but I started falling into was, you know, the industry that I'm in, it's not like, it's not, you know, it's at this point in time, I know that eventually, you know, with the love of a career and with the love of what you do, eventually the money will come, but at this point in time, the money's not all there. And I had somebody telling me all these riches stories, and that if I was just to get involved with this organization, that you can make all this money. And money is not my first priority. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. But I started kind of buying into it. Go, well, you know, I could do this on the part time deal, and I could do this, and this will help me financially. And I allowed people around me that were not being very truthful, based on a scheme that I wanted to believe. And I have to, and you underline the fact I wanted to believe.
Right. That was how they got to you. They told you what you wanted to hear.
Yeah, I didn't even want to hear that, but it sounded really damn good.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is awesome, right? But I guess maybe subconsciously I thought about it, right?
Yeah.
I thought about it. So let's, when we return, we're going to be talking more about acceptance, about how we can accept the world around us, accept the people around us, but not fall into the minutia, not fall into the lies and the cheating. And also we're going to begin to talk about how we can have that childlike adulthood and really be able to resonate with the heart space. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about the concept of how we get older, we get more hardened. You know, and I've been telling you and explaining to you and stressing the fact that there's a way that we can actually break that shell. We can actually take that shell down. That shell does not need to be there any longer. In Bill's case, the wall, the great wall of Bill China, can now come down. We're going to allow it to come down.
Had a moat with crocodiles and everything.
We took the crocodiles to a nice neighborhood zoo.
We relocated them.
And yes. No, we didn't take them to a zoo. We relocated to an animal sanctuary.
In the outback of Australia.
Where they could be very, very happy.
That's right.
See, and they could have little babies and all that kind of stuff if it's not menopausal time for them, but maybe they can have little babies. Anyway, a little too much information.
that was called a tangent, folks.
So how do we break the shell? How do we break this shell? And, you know, we have to go to the concept of the Burgess Rule. There's a rule. We're not talking about rule of thumb here. We're talking about the Burgess Rule. And in order to break our shell that we've created around our heart, we have to begin to realize, we have to begin by realizing, better yet, that we've actually formed a survival shell. And that's what this shell is, a survival shell. We created it to survive. That's the key. We created this shell because we wanted to not deal with something. We wanted to offset something. We wanted to not feel so painful, so awful. And all of us that have created this shell created it to survive. It was our comfort zone. It was our womb state without the coolness of the womb. And in order to realize, in order realizing, we have to see it. We have to know that we've created it, and that's the only way that we can begin to break it down. You know, the second part of the Burgess Rule is to understand why we created it. Why did we create the shell? Why did we create it in the first place? What events or what situations happened in our life that made us choose or made us feel that we needed to put up the Great Wall of China? At what point did we realize after these events, what events were, what situations were they? What happened in our life? You know, in Bill's case, he was 8 years old and his parents were going through a very painful, take no prisoners, divorce. And he felt overwhelmed as a kid. And as a kid, a lot of times the parents say, hey, it's not about you. It's about us. We all love you. But even as kids, we all know that we feel that there's some part of this divorce has to do with us.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that it was my fault.
Yeah, like they wouldn't be getting a divorce so I wasn't such a bad kid.
Right.
Or, you know, that they're having a divorce because of me. So, or they don't love me anymore.
And it's like all the other kids get to have mom and dad. Why can't I?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why do I have to only have one? Or why do I have to go from house to house?
Yeah.
Were you separate? Did you have to go to one parent's house and then stay with another one?
Well, my dad was in the service, so I spent like summers.
Oh, okay, with your dad.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the rest of it was with your mom.
Right.
So yeah, so a lot of us have to realize and understand at what point in time, what were the events that led up to the fact? What were the situations and what happened? Because that's really important. And I'd like people to take a time right now to think about that. You don't have to go so far into the emotional state that it takes you to a downturn where you're actually in the fetal position, okay? I don't want you to take yourself there, but I want you to try to figure out right now what were the events and what were the situations that took place. The next part of the Burgess Rule that's so crucial is to let go. We have to let go of our past by understanding that the past, it doesn't need to be forgotten, but it needs to be forgiven. No unforgiven past helps. If you have a bunch of past baggage that you have not forgiven, that are there to color every situation of your life, this isn't helping. This is hurting you. This is hindering you. This is a handicap. This isn't a handicap in golf. This is a true handicap for you. Because every relationship, personal relationship, love relationship, friendship, career, everything you go into, you're carrying this baggage. And you're coloring the situation based on how bad and how heavy the baggage is. So first thing is that you have to forgive others, which I think most of the people listening tonight have already forgiven the others involved. If you haven't, take time to forgive them at this point. And that might take time. That might take a year. But take time to forgive those people. Because if we don't forgive the people involved, we have strings attached to us and the people that wronged us. And those strings attached cause other problems in our life. It can cause that person to come back into our life. It can cause other people that are very similar to come back into our life. And it also feels a little like a part of our soul or heart is being held on to something, being weighed down. And that's without forgiveness. And so in order to have more of your heart, more of your soul, more of yourself intact, you have to begin to forgive other people. And you got to do it. But the biggest thing is that you have to forgive yourself. I fell into the trap. I fell into the pitfall of not forgiving myself. When something bad would happen or something that I instinctively was uncomfortable with or stressed out that I created the survival shell, I had not forgiven myself because we all have a part to play in everything that we do. No matter what it is, we have something to do with that situation. And in order for us to deal with the situation and the circumstances that occurred, we have to actually take ownership of the responsibility that we were in the situation and then forgive that ownership that we had in that situation. I mean, we have to forgive ourselves. I mean, that example that I talked to you about the last segment, that whole concept, I had to get over the fact that I was involved in the problem. I was involved in the situation. Part of that was me. And that's a problematic situation. I didn't want to deal with it. But I had to. I had to deal with it. I had to forgive myself because I had to forgive myself for being involved. I had to forgive myself for falling for it, for falling for the scam, basically, for better words. And I had to forgive myself for lying to my loved ones because I didn't want them to think I was such an idiot. I had to do all of that. But until I forgave myself, I couldn't get that wall to come down. I couldn't start breaking that shell.
You know, Ashley, again, I just want to interject. This sounds awfully lot, a lot like you know, the 12-step program. You know, first of all, you have to admit that there's a problem, and then you have to forgive yourself for it, and otherwise you can't go on because it's always going to be that ball and chain.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, which I'm not part of a 12-step program, but that's
Bill. Bill's part of a 12-step program.
My name is Bill, and I'm in. No, okay, wrong meeting. But
Bill's my sponsee. I'm a sponsor. Now it's out. Okay, we'll talk about more about his addictions later on in another show. You'll have to tune in next week to find out about that.
That's right.
But no, but you're right. I never thought about that. And you know, there's parts of the 12-step process that I like, and some that I don't know if I always gravitate to. But I do agree that the Burgess Rule is something that can be used especially to break this shell. And the last but not least, part of the rule that's very important is acceptance. We have to accept that everyone and not everyone, there are going to be some great people out there. There's going to be some people that try to take advantage of you. This world is not filled with just all honest, delightful people. We have to accept that fact. We have to accept the fact that some people are not going to be straight up with you. We have to accept the fact that some people are going to confuse your generosity and kindness for weakness. That's part of it. But we have to, by not forgetting our past, we can accept the fact that we might make mistakes, but we might not make as many of them, right? Like, I have to accept the fact that I might take in somebody that might turn around and screw me over. But in the same half, it might happen one time instead of 20 times that it happened in the past. Because we get better and better and better at registering people, at understanding what people are about without the shell, because we've accepted the fact that some people are going to come into your life to try to take advantage of you. But it's very easy. If you're living in a certain dimension in your life, you will be able to sense this out quickly. And also, a lot of times we have a tendency of running in to trust somebody. And I know that people are saying out there, well, if you're breaking the shell down, what's going to happen when I easily trust people and then they hurt me? Well, I'll tell you one thing is that I think a lot of times once we've gone through the shell process and we realize that we've understood it, we've realized that we've let it go, we begin with the acceptance situation, we realize that we might trust people quickly, but I think that we will pick and choose people wisely, more wiser than we ever have. And the reason why we'll do this is because we've learned from our past. We've accepted the process that we played in the past. But also better than that is a situation that a lot of times we created that shell because a lot of stuff went down. And right at this point in time, we kind of get it. And, you know, occasionally somebody will come by and try to sell me a bill of goods. And it might take me about a day or two to figure it out, but I figure it out. And I don't get burned that much. But I'm not going to sit there and be hearted. I'm not going to be hardened because of somebody trying to take advantage of me. The absolute opposite. And that's what I want to get into talking about this last segment. And in this last segment, once you've realized, once you've understood, once you've let go, and once you've accepted the fact that the world is a pretty good place, there will be people that are going to try to, you know, take your kindness as stupidity. But you can overcome that. You can get around those people. You can drive around them. You can run around them. But there comes a time when once you break that shell, the heart can begin to lead the way, and you can once again have that childlike attitude. But even better yet, you can have that childlike belief and feeling as an adult. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about that, and this is going to open your eyes to a totally different way of life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about the older we get, the more hardened we become. And we've been talking about how we can actually begin to break that shell. You know, I talked about the Ashley, the Burgess rule. The rule of the realizing, the understanding, the letting go, and the acceptance. And how we can do that to begin to break that shell down and to open our heart again. And so right now I want to talk about how once the shell is broken and we get rid of that wall, that Great Wall of China, we can actually use our heart to lead our life. And once again, we can have that childlike youth and adulthood. It's the best of both worlds. You know, I mean, having that childlike feeling to embrace things, to love things, to not feel scared when someone comes around. To not feel, oh, I better watch out, I better guard myself because that person's going to hurt me because they remind me of somebody from my past and I don't know if I can deal with this. It's to be able to go into every situation and know that not everybody's going to be perfect. And some people are going to be conniving and liars, but you're going to figure it out very quickly. And when you figure it out very quickly, you can move on. You know, don't you think about it, when you see little kids, I always think it's interesting because when I meet little kids that are old enough to talk, you know, old enough to have a communication to communicate, well, even babies, even for that matter, I watch how they look at people, and kids are always looking in your eyes. They always look right into your eyes, like right in them. And every time a kid looks right into my eyes, and I don't blink, and I look right into their eyes too, they automatically start smiling. And I know that they do this because they know that I'm trustworthy, they know that I'm a good person, and they resonate with me. Even no matter how young they are, our souls resonate at a certain level together, and we have a certain vibrational level.
Yeah, it's like children and animals can tell.
Oh, yeah, and animals love me.
If someone is trustworthy or not.
And animals love me.
Yes.
You know, I go over to people's houses, and like the cat that's never come out with people around, because the cat's been, you know, went through a bad situation and had to go through, you know, was in a shelter and that whole thing. And they're like, oh yeah, well, I have a cat, but you're never going to see her because she never comes out for other people. And then like 20 minutes into it, the cat is literally sitting with me on the couch, and everybody's like, oh my God.
It's like, how did this happen? Yeah.
Oh my God. Are you the cat whisperer? You know, and I go, no, I'm actually allergic a little bit, but I'm going to take a Benadryl and I'm going to hang out here and I'm going to like cough up a little hairball, but I'm very happy to pet the cat. And I'm glad that the cat came out because the cat likes me, right? Because it feels good. And that's where you want to be in life, is you want to be able to look people in the eye and you want to be able to know, yes, I trust them, or no, I don't, but I don't have to waste any more time with the people that aren't trustworthy, right? We don't need to have a shell up where it takes like Cupid and five military officials to try to break it down for you to find what love's about.
Preach, Reverend Ashley.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what's up, man. So we don't, and the reason why we want to break this shell down, because everybody goes, well, why should I break my shell down? My shell is nice. It's got a nice exterior. You know, it's like one of those Cadbury eggs. I have a nice shell. I'm happy about my shell. Well, the first reason you want to let that shell fall down, you want to break that down, is you don't need to let others steal your happiness. Because isn't that why you formed the shell in the first place? Is because somebody hurt you. And you want to stay away from that pain so bad that you built that shell. But ever since you built that shell, how happy have you really been? And ever since you built that shell, based on the series of events, you have decreased your happiness level tenfold. So the reason why we want to take the shell down tonight, and we want to begin to break the shell down like the Great Wall of China, is because you need to have happiness again, and you don't need others to steal your happiness. And by putting that shell up, you've allowed others to steal your happiness, to steal your childlike interest, your childlike happiness. You don't want to let anybody steal that happiness. And that's what's so important, is that once we tear down this shell, we allow ourselves to feel again. And yeah, some people might not be the greatest of people. And some people you might be like, I can't believe they have the audacity to confuse my kindness with stupidity. And I can't believe that they were going to try to use me. But you know what? I would rather find that out and know it and go, you know what? I'll talk to you later. You have a good one. And then I'm going to go meet some really great people. But I'm not going to form that shell because that jerk tried to use my kindness as a sword against me. No, I could care less. Let that jerk go on. But he's not gonna give me a shell. I'm not putting up a shell because of that jerk. No. I'm gonna keep on loving and living. And the more I do, the more awesomeness is gonna come into my life. You know, the second reason why we want this childlike, you know, adult lifestyle is an open heart allows love in. Without an open heart, we can't get love. I mean, we can only get like a house shelf love because with that shell, we're not allowing ourselves to love other people, right?
Because it works both ways, doesn't it? It you put the shell up to keep other people out, but it also keeps you in.
Yeah, it keeps you away from people. You know? That's so right. You keep yourself isolated. And then you wonder why I'm never going to find love. You've isolated yourself on this island. Yes, you are with all of us, but you're in an island.
It's like in my case, I put up a wall because I didn't want to let anybody in. Well, and then I didn't go anywhere in order to meet any friends.
Yeah, you put yourself away from everybody.
Right.
You know, and the other thing about the heart thing is that when we open our heart, it allows love in, is that we're actually allowed to love ourselves. Because a big deal about putting this wall up is that we had to deal with a situation that took place or a series of situations or a series of losses, right? And when we put that wall up, when we put that shell up, we also numbed our feelings toward the situations. And we did it because we didn't want to feel that emotion. And by doing that, we have halted our love for ourselves. We have impacted the way we feel about ourselves. And that's a big thing because we can't love if the heart's not open. I can't love myself. I can't love other people. I can't love people as friends. I can't love somebody as a husband, as a wife, as a lover. I can't do any of that, honestly, with having that shell and that wall on. And the thing is that whatever hurt us in the past only continues to hurt us more by creating the shell. And I know people that have created such a shell. It's amazing. I mean, it would take a wrecking ball to take it down. And the longer we keep that shell, the older it gets. And you would think that it would get more fragile and be able to break, but it seems to get tougher. It's like cement. And the older we get, the more we divide ourselves up from other people. And I have some friends that are in their early 50s that the only time they open up their heart just for a small smidgen section, just that second, that minuscule second, is when they're completely trashed. And they open up their heart and they go, I love you, I love you, I love you. And they show their feelings and they might be crying at the time, but the very next day you're not going to see it. They're going to actually avoid you because they feel like something might have happened. You know what I mean? They might actually know how I truly feel about them. And I don't want anybody to know that because they could hurt me.
Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want to get hurt again.
Right.
And you know, the only way that you don't get hurt again is to open your heart. You can't operate from a system based on the deficit and actually have anything good come out of it. The only way that you can love and be loved is to have an open heart. The only way that you can take your life to the next level is to open your heart and allow love to come in. The only way that you can get to that level is by opening that heart, by allowing people to come in and out of your life, by not adding strings attached to it, by not getting upset, by not forming that barrier. And last but not least, FYI, for your information. You sent me a text earlier before the show started.
I did, yeah.
FYI, and it was, you know, my first thought was for your eyes only, and then I was like, no, that's not it.
For your eyes only.
I was like,
this is not a James Bond movie, yeah.
You know, I always like to James Bond stuff up, you know what I mean? No, but it's for your information. Everyone has a story, okay? All of us, all human beings have a story. Don't let that negative story rule your life. We all have a story. We all have bad things that happened to us. We all have even cruel things that took place in our life. We can't change it, but we can change the way we look at it. We can change the way we look at it. We can change the way we deal with it. We don't have to have that story and use that as a protective wall. We can use that story as our past. We can use it as knowledge, but we don't have to be ruled by it. And when we put this wall and we create the shell around our heart, we are being ruled by our story. And I know that everybody sits there and says their life is awful, their life is hard. Most people's lives at some point or another was very painful. Tragic, maybe. And you sit there and you can't define your life against other lives and say, well, my life was more tragic than your life, and so I'm going to rule my life based on my tragedy. No. Step back and realize that when we rule our life by our negative story, we don't have a life. And this is your life to shine. Open your heart. Open your heart. Let it shine. Be you. Be a child again and experience all that this world has to offer, because that's the only way you'll be able to. If you have children, watch how your children react and be more like them. If you have a friend that has kids, see what their kids are doing. Mimic that and get back to how you were as you were a kid before any sort of painful story took place, and realize that makes you stronger, but it doesn't have to keep you away from everybody else. Keep your heart open. Bill, great show.
Thank you, Ashley. Fantastic information.
So break the shell. It's time for
you to break the shell.
It's time for you to use the rule, realize, understand, let go, and accept, and open your heart. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in 3 shakes.